with us about teaching and explaining the different examples in the Bible of how the battle always came before the blessing. And if we can just learn to endure through the battle, whatever it is, the blessing is ours. Amen?
Amen.
Battles come in all forms. Like I said, some are short battles. Some seem like they last forever. Some are easy, and some are very difficult. But I'm going to tell you the definition of battle. And I want you to remember this as I'm talking. By definition, battle means a sustained fight between large organized armed forces. A sustained fight between large organized armed forces. And one account that we're going to start this series with, we may be very familiar with it. I know that I have taught on this before, is Jehoshaphat. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we're going to start in verse 1. In verse 1 it says, "And it came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared." Is anyone, their first reaction when a battle raises its ugly head? You're afraid. We're all, because we could be the most safe person, but we're still flesh, and that fear tends to rise up at a moment's notice. It said Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to what? The problem that, and I'm guilty of this too, a battle comes against us. We like to get on social media. Oh, I need prayers. I can't believe I'm facing this today. I am so upset. I can't even think of how I'm going to handle this. Or we pick up the phone, or we talk to our friends, our family, about I'm just in a sad state. I don't know what to do. Does that sound familiar to anybody?
Amen.
That we go to the wrong source about our problems.
Amen.
But Jehoshaphat learned something, as we all do. We don't realize it, but we're actually being trained by our troubles. We are actually being prepared through battle for the next battle.
Yeah.
We don't like battle. We are a comfort zone people. We would love for things to be going right day after day. No conflict, no confrontation, no anger, no aggravation. Boy, what a perfect world that would be.
Amen.
If we had no conflict, no battles, no war. But what's the reality? That's not the world we live in. And every day that we live, it gets worse and worse.
Amen.
Turn on the news and you'll hear bad news sales. It gets worse and worse and worse.
Amen.
But one thing that Jehoshaphat learned in this battle, see, this came up all of a sudden. Have you ever been just living life? Everything was going right. And all of a sudden, somebody came to you and said, you are being talked about. There's people that are forming allegiance against you. There, it may be a doctor's visit. Everything was going rosy until you go to that doctor visit and they tell you, we're sorry, there's nothing we can do. You have stage 4 cancer and you better count your days. That hit Jehoshaphat out of nowhere, just like someone telling us that, it would be like somebody just punched us and the wind got knocked out of us. Has anybody ever experienced that?
Amen.
where all of a sudden you may have been praising God every day of your life. And all of a sudden, the enemy attacks. And when he attacks, more than likely, it's not going to be something that we're going to be sustained. Oh, this is nothing. It's going to overtake us. It's going to overwhelm us.
Yes.
Jehoshaphat learned, and I say that he learned because of just a chapter or two before this, Jehoshaphat had to learn the hard way. Am I speaking to anybody about having to learn the hard way? Sometimes we can be a stubborn people. Amen? Jehoshaphat, being the king of Judah, decided to join forces against Syria with the king of Israel at that time, who was Ahab. Now, the only thing I know about Ahab, number one, he had Jezebel for a wife, so he didn't have much taste in women. That or he was afraid, and she just took him and said, "You're mine." I can relate to that. Not the evil part, but when she sees something that she wants, she goes after it.
Amen.
Ahab was an evil king, and he had prophets. Prophets, I say prophets, because he had prophets telling him what he wanted to hear. I will tell you as a side note, be careful of the people that always put a smile on your face. It always tells you what you want to hear. Ahab had the same people around him, and what good did it do him? A true prophet, a true pastor, a true man or woman of God, as hard as it may be, will not always tell you what you want to hear, but will tell you what you need to hear. Because at the end of the day, we are accountable to the Lord God.
Amen.
And our words, if we don't watch our words, we're held accountable.
Amen.
And we have to pay the price. The blood will be on our hands.
Yeah.
Ahab had 400 prophets telling him, "Yeah, go out into battle. You're going to win this thing." And Jehoshaphat, as I was reading, it said Jehoshaphat always inquired of the Lord first before making any decision. Before making any decision.
Yeah.
Are you reading between the lines? He prayed before making any decision.
Yes.
But not that time. He joined forces with Ahab and didn't even pray about it. He said, "I'll go into war with you against Syria." And these 400 prophets came out and said, "Yes, you're going to win, Ahab. You're going to win." And something in Jehoshaphat said something that just doesn't seem right. Have you ever had that feeling where somebody was telling you something that your spirit did not connect with? It didn't sound right. It just didn't make you feel like that was the truth.
Yeah.
And Jehoshaphat, with that spirit, said, "Do you not have any other prophet here that says anything different?" And Ahab said, "Yeah, I got one, and I hate him. I hate him. Micaiah." And Jehoshaphat said, go send for him. Bring him on. There's a reason why you hate him. He must tell you things you don't want to hear." That's the people we need in our lives. Amen. I'm not saying that you should keep negative people around you, but you should keep people around you that tell you the truth.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
If people are in your lives that lie to you just to get close to you, be very careful.
Amen.
Jehoshaphat said, "Bring Micaiah to us." And Micaiah, you know why he only spoke bad things against Ahab? Because Ahab was bad. You know, when people tell us, I've had people tell us certain things, and it kind of rubbed me the wrong way, but after thinking about it, you know what? They were right. They were right. And see, that can be a battle in itself, is to discern the truth from lies.
Yes.
To discern, is this really from God, or was this sent from the enemy to get me off course? Jehoshaphat learned, and he went into battle, and it said that because of the trickery and the things that happened, Jehoshaphat almost died himself. what webs we weave when we get into trouble on our own. And when we get into trouble on our own, what do? Oh, God, you got to help me. Where are you at? And God may be saying, if you had inquired of me before you took a footstep, I would have directed you that that is not your war. That is not your battle. So this time in chapter 20, Jehoshaphat was trained by his troubles. He said, I'm not going back. I'm not doing the same thing that I did before. I'm not going through that same war where I almost got myself killed. And it said he feared and set himself to seek the Lord. So this time he was getting it right. God, I'm going to seek you first. And proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Now they had the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Edomites coming against them. One army they may be able to defeat. But three, in physical sense, that's impossible. But the hardest part of every battle we face is knowing who the real enemy is. So many times we waste our energy, our strength, and our ambition on the wrong enemy. And most of the time, the battle that we're in right now, the battle that we're facing is not really our battle, nor is it our enemy to fight. So many times we have gotten ourselves into situations where we're confronting people, and maybe these people have talked about us. Maybe these people are telling lies. Well, I have learned that if they're telling lies about you, you must be affecting them in some certain way. You must be doing something right. Yeah. You must be possessing something that they wish they had. You must be possessing something that they could have had. You must be possessing something that, as God told Esther, if you won't carry it forth, I'll choose somebody else. Just as Saul gave up his anointing. And I say he gave it up. God said he took it away. It was by his choosing. Yes. Because he wanted to please the people. But there was somebody laying in the wait in the fields tending sheep. Say, what was he doing? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. There was one who was by himself with sheep praising the name of the Lord. See, even in that, when his father said, he's the last person I would choose to be anointed, all his brothers turned against him. Even in that, have you ever had family turn away from you? Have you ever had family talk about you? Have you ever been in a place where you felt like nothing because your family and friends treated you like nothing? Amen. But even in all that, David was praising God through all of the battles. Now, he had not reached the main battle yet, but he was being trained. God was working with him. The hardest part of the battle is knowing who the real enemy is. Because see, Ephesians 6 and 12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not our brother and sister that we're really fighting against. It is the one behind it. It is the spirit, the principalities, the spiritual wickedness in high places. That's who we should be targeting. That's who our prayers should be targeting. Not people, the enemy himself. So many times we waste our energy on the wrong battle and the wrong enemy. Yeah. But we are being trained by our troubles. Because once you get through one battle, guess what? There's going to be another one. Are you going to handle it the same way that you did back here? You do what works. Yeah. You don't repeat what doesn't work. Or at least we shouldn't. But that's when we find ourselves like a hamster in a wheel, seeing the same thing over and over. Jehoshaphat had been trained by his troubles too. And we went through that Ahab and all of that battle with Syria, he went about it the wrong way. And Jehoshaphat said, here comes another battle. This time it's three times bigger than what I could even think. And it said, and Judah, in verse 4, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. How wise that was. Mm-hmm. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. In verse 5, it says, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? Jehoshaphat was telling God, this battle, this people that's coming against me, it's too large for us. Have you ever been in a battle, whether it was a physical battle, a spiritual battle, a mental battle, where you said, this battle is too big for me? I can't do this by myself. God, where are you? But Jehoshaphat was going through in verse 7. Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel? He was rehearsing what had already transpired. Sometimes we forget when we get caught up in a battle, this is not our first battle. Yeah. It feels like it because it's a different battle, but it's not our first battle. You know why I know it's not your first battle? Everybody do this. You're breathing, aren't you? From the moment that you draw your first breath, you step into a battle. It's called life.
Yeah.
It's not always easy. It's not always fair. And some, it's very unfair to those. But Jehoshaphat, he said, God, I'm not making the same mistake that I did last time. I'm consulting you first. This is something bigger than me, bigger than this army of Judah. This is something bigger that I cannot see, physically see my way out. It said in verse 9, if when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. Jehoshaphat was telling God something he already knew. God, I could just see God sitting up there saying, Jehoshaphat, you're telling me everything I already know. You're telling me how big this battle is. You're telling me how big the enemy is. You're telling me everything that I already know. And none of it is moving my hand. Because the Bible says faith without works is dead. So he's telling me everything that is dead words. But you add some faith to those words. You tell me how large I am. You tell me how large your victories have been in the past. And that will start my hand moving because that is something I can work with. Faith without works is dead. And Jehoshaphat started off. He even sounded kind of, God, why are you doing this? Why is this befallen on me? Anybody ever got an attitude with God? Because I'm human. Given the right circumstances, if something were to happen to you or your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, you would get an attitude real quick with God. Because that's the flesh that works within us. But Jehoshaphat started saying all these things to God. You are God. You are the one. You're the mighty one. And in verse 11 it says, behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. He was telling God, you covered the Edomites because the Edomites were descendants from Esau. And Esau's daddy was Isaac. And Isaac's daddy was who? Isaac's daddy, we need to go back to Sunday school, people. Isaac's daddy was Abraham. And what was Abraham to God? A friend. A friend of God. God, sometimes we find ourselves saying, God, just as Joshua, and I don't want to get into other messages from this month, but Joshua, when God visited him and said, who are you for? Are you for me or are you against me? He was combative. And God said, I'm not for you or against you. I don't pick sides. I have my own side. Sometimes we get so mad and angry at God because God is blessing our enemy. What we don't realize is God may have a purpose and a plan for them too. So when God blesses the enemy, don't be jealous. Don't be hating. Don't be saying they're doing things wrong. I did this for them. No, you didn't. God did everything according to his plan. And there is nothing that the enemy can do to stop the plan of God. Amen?
Amen.
And in verse 12, this is very familiar to all of us because we've all said it at one time or the other. Oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? Will you not take care of my enemy? Will you not take care of this battle? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. You may be saying, this battle is too large because it's a sickness that I can't control. It's an addiction that I can't get under wraps. It's an addiction that controls me. It is a battle that controls me. Is there anybody here who is going through something right now that seems, and I say seems, larger than what you can control? Jehoshaphat humbly came before God and said, we have no might. We have no power against this company. Neither know we what to do. Have you ever told God, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do? I can't even think what my next step is going to be. God, if you don't move for me right now, I don't know that I can make it another day. I don't know how I'm going to see my way out. I don't know how I'm going to survive.
Yeah.
But he said, in all of that, in all of my questions, in all of my doubt, in all of my frustration, our eyes are still on you.
Yeah. Amen.
Our eyes are upon thee. And it said, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Do you know how important it is to bring your family, not only to church, but in your home? Do you know how important it is to let your children see you pray?
Yeah.
To let your children Amen. Hear you pray. More than that, when there's a problem that your children come to you about, do you know how important the first words out of your mouth, let's pray about it.
Amen.
Let's pray about it. I know that I have found myself in years past when my kids would come to me about situations at school, I got angry. I was ready to put my riot gear on saying, show me where that kid is. I will go postal on them and I'll whip their mama too.
Mama Bear.
Mama Bear, that's right. The earrings come off and it gets ugly because it's my kids. But what's more than that, that battle spirit that's within me should be, I heard this and I thought, man, this hits home. That there are, and this is true of my kids, some more than others. I won't mention who they are, even though she's my youngest. There's certain attributes in children that we want to just get rid of. You don't need to be like that. Get rid of it.
Yeah.
And it's not that we need to get rid of it. It needs to be trained. It needs to be wrangled in. Because God places certain gifts, even if it's gifts of battle, into certain people. He placed the gift of battle in Joshua. Couldn't nobody whip him. He was ready to go out and fight. And sometimes our children, they're ready to fight. Now, while that may be right or wrong, I leave that up to the parents. But that spirit of being combative, we need to learn to channel that energy in our kids and say, you take that battle spirit to God. Because sometimes the greatest battle that we could ever do and ever face is standing still and not doing a thing. Sometimes we want to rush out and see who we can beat and who we can pummel and who can draw first blood. Amen. When really we're wearing ourselves out and we find ourselves, we can't even stand. We're weak. We're fighting the wrong battles until the real battle comes and we have nothing left to give. Yeah. And we lose. Jehoshaphat said, our eyes are upon you. Our eyes, not just my eyes. Because wasn't it David that said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As long as I've told, and we've told this to our kids, as long as you're in our house and we're paying your bills, you will go to church. You will acknowledge God. You will say the blessing before you eat. You will be thankful. You will be appreciative. You will learn that God is your very best friend and you do need Him.
Yep.
Now after they think they're grown and they leave the house and their bills go with them.
Yes.
I and my husband too can have a restful night knowing we trained up our children the way they should go. And when they're old, they're not going to depart from it. They will remember what they were trained. Amen?
Amen.
Jehoshaphat was in all of Judah. All of them came into the house of God and saying, we will worship you because we are in a position that we don't know how we're going to get out of.
Yeah.
Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, and Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. See, that's why it's so important that when we come into the house of God, that we do worship the Lord with all of our hearts, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, leaving our problems outside. Because that is when God comes into our midst. Amen?
Amen?
He comes in. He hears the cries of His children. And it said in verse 15, and He said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you. And I'm telling you this because I believe there are people here who need to be reminded. You may be going through something that you can't see your way out of. You may be going through something and you feel like all hope is lost. That the battle before you is bigger than what you can comprehend. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. God's saying, this army of three, these three great armies, that's nothing for me. Don't be afraid of that. You should feel honored that it took three armies to try to overtake you.
Yeah.
That's saying something about how they see you.
Amen.
When your enemy, and I've learned this, when your enemy decides to target you and they're coming after you, they're trying to ruin your reputation,
Amen.
They're trying to tell all kinds of lies. When they can't get dirt on you, they'll make something up. And lies go a lot further than the truth nowadays.
Yeah.
When they decide that they're going to do that, all we got to do, instead of retaliating, stand still. Stand still. Because when Jehoshaphat was gathering the people, God spoke and said, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. Don't worry about the people that's running their mouth about you. Don't worry about the people that's trying to tear your reputation apart. Don't worry about the doctor's report that says there's no way out. For the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not yours.
Amen.
Tomorrow, go ye down. See, when we acknowledge God first, and we pour our hearts out to Him, we may start out as, God, I don't know how we're going to do this. I don't know how we're going to win. I don't know how and where you're taking us through this. Did we do something wrong? Were we disobedient? We say all these things. But before we say amen, eventually our words, the Spirit will overtake our words. And we'll start remembering, God, you are my God. You delivered me way back then. You kept my mind when I should have been in a mental institution. You kept me. You protected me. I shouldn't even be alive. But because of you and your mercy and your grace, your love endures forever.
Amen.
Then that's when God will step in and He'll give you direction. He was telling Jehoshaphat and all of Judah, tomorrow go down. Behold, they come up the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. God was telling them exactly where the enemy was going to show up. God will tell you exactly where the enemy is going to show up if we read here. He'll show up in your mind. He will show up in your closest friends and family. It's not them fighting you. It's the principality behind them that's using them against you. God will direct you. And He said, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. Sometimes we want to put on our boxing gloves. Come on, I'm ready. I'm ready to go out and fight. And God said, no, leave your gloves at home. All you have to do is show up. I'm here. What do I do now? The enemy will make you think your days are numbered. Your time is like the sands through an hourglass. You are about to be wiped out. That's what the enemy will tell you. That's what the enemy will put in your mind. But God's saying, you don't have to fight this battle. And God's telling people today, you don't have to fight this battle. It's not yours. Stand still. Set yourselves.
Yes.
He's telling them, get you a front row seat. This is going to be good. I'm going to show you some of my best work. I'm going to show you without you even lifting a hand. Because I love you. Not because there's anything that you've done. But because my grace is sufficient for you. You're going to pull up a chair. Get some popcorn. The movie's going to be great. It's going to be better than Rambo. It's going to be better than any of these action movies. It's going to capture your attention. God said, just set yourselves. Stand still. When people talk about you, stand still. When trouble comes, stand still. When you don't know what to do, stand still.
Amen.
So God's giving them direction. Where to go, what to do. Jehoshaphat in verse 18 bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites, the children of the Kohathites, and the children of the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. You know why some of our battles are constantly and consistently being fought? In the drumsticks, drink. You know, I'm not going to play the drums, so don't get your hopes up. But when I read that, it made me think of, what was that movie with Russell Crowe? He was going out and they had shields.
Oh, Gladiator.
Gruesome movie. But you know what? In those days, I believe they did that against their shield. What was that? It was their battle cry. It was their battle cry. That was their way of saying, we're ready for battle. We're coming after you. It's about to be on. Get ready. We need to get our battle cry ready. And our battle cry is not, it's not that. Our battle cry is exactly what Jehoshaphat and the Levites did. They stood up in the middle and said with a loud voice, y'all can get loud with the Braves, y'all can get loud with the Falcons, y'all can get loud with the Georgia Bulldogs, go Dogs. Y'all can get loud with Alabama or whatever team that you're pulling for, but when it comes to what matters most, yeah, that's when it gets quiet. Yep. We need to learn our battle cry. God, you are our God, and there is nothing impossible with you. You are a God that controls this battle. You are a God that reminds me I don't have to pick up one hand against the enemy. You are my God that tells me all I have to do is stand still. You are my God that tells me that to set my feet and to watch your hand move. You are a God that can get me out of impossible situations. You are my God. That should be our battle cry. Amen. When in our deepest, darkest trouble, God, you are God all by yourself. There is no other God that stands next to you. You will not share your glory with anybody else. Yeah. That's our battle cry. Should be our battle cry. Because, you know, when we talk about, I don't understand how this is going to work out. I don't understand the enemy's fighting me all around me. That's what you see physically. What God's more concerned with is what do you not see? What do you trust me with? What is your battle cry? Battle cry is not, we're fear. We're fearful. I'm hiding. Because many of us hide from the enemy. When God has prepared us to go to war, we just sung, this means war. Yes, it does. Because we are in the fight of our lives. The devil wants to take our minds completely apart. He wants to take our relationships and stomp on them. He wants to tear our hearts apart to where we will forget our battle cry. That we will forget, what's the point? The more I try, the worse it gets. Have you ever said that? They stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel. And they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, Judah. Hear me, Abiding Love. Believe in the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. Set yourselves. You're going to be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper. And I'm telling you today, if you are still in a battle and you don't know what to do, stand still. Inquire of the Lord and raise your battle cry. Not your moanings and your groanings. If that hurts your feelings, it's a feeling, it comes and goes, you'll get over it. I'm telling you what you need to hear. It's something that is life-changing, that will guide you and lead you. Raise your battle cry in the middle of your battle. And it said when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. Now, that's intriguing because singers and praise and worship people, they don't have weapons. They don't have armor. They don't have gear. They don't have a gun. They don't have a bow. They don't have a hammer. They don't have anything in their hands. But what they possess is the most deadliest weapon to the enemy. Jacob just said it earlier. Your praise is your weapon. Your praise is your weapon. And so many times we're searching around for the wrong weapon. We use the wrong weapon. And God said, I've already instilled in you what the most deadliest weapon to the enemy is, and that is your praise. So Jehoshaphat said, we're gonna hit them hard and hit them fast. Put our singers, our worship leaders, our musicians out in front of the army. Praise the Lord. For his mercy endureth forever. Do you know what that does to the enemy when he's thrown everything at you? When he has thrown lies at you? When he has done his worst to you? And all he hears you say is, praise the name of the Lord. His mercy endureth forever. It confuses the enemy. Because he doesn't know what, he doesn't understand that. And when they began to sing and to praise, great is the Lord. God, you are a God that never fails me. I'm playing this because this is my battle cry. Jehoshaphat was sending his people out, and he said, we're not going to have to fight. We will fight with our praise. We will fight with our voices. And we will watch God. We don't know how he's going to move. We don't know when he's going to move. He just told us when to show up. All we have to do is stand still, lift our voices with the voice of the Almighty in worship of him. They were willing. But so many times, we send up a wall and we say, I'm not doing that. My circumstance has consumed me too much where it has pulled down my praise. What is my praise going to do? Yeah. In a situation where nobody can handle it, nobody can change it, what is my praise going to do? Everything. Everything. Because here we see when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Jehoshaphat and Judah, children of Judah, were standing there singing, great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. I will bless the Lord at all times. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And all the while that they were worshiping and praising God, little did they know, and maybe they did know. I know how I would react if I'm standing there praising God and I see the enemy is consuming the enemy. What's going on over there? That would attract my attention. But it said they praise God. They worship God with all of their heart. And it said the enemy turned against one another and consumed them. And do you know that this battle was won not by what they did with their hands, but because they first inquired of the Lord. Then they obeyed God. They worshiped and they showed up just to see the enemy consume the enemy that consumed the enemy. But it said, all that was left, all the spoil, they found and walked away with in abundance. See, that's what God will do for you. God will set up your spoil. God will set up the abundance of the enemy. And he's gathered it over here. He gathered it over here at Ammon. He gathered it over here at Moab. And he gathered it over here at Edom. And he said, this fool, you thought that your enemy was prospering. You thought that your enemy was mounting up everything that you should have had. You thought that I had forgotten you. What I was doing was just preparing abundance for you. I was preparing something that your eyes couldn't see, your ears couldn't here. Your heart couldn't even understand and put into words. I am a God that has a thinking above your thinking. I will do the unimaginable, the impossible, all because I love you. He loves you this morning. And he's telling you, he's reminding you, don't look at the enemy. Don't look at the battle. Don't look how large it is. He's setting up ambushments against the enemy because the enemy will walk around, I got her today. I got her today. I sent people to talk about her and tear her down. I sent the ones that were the closest to her to walk all over her. I made her have anxiety and panic attacks on her job. I did all these things. I set attacks in motion. And I'll admit, it weakens you until you recognize who the real enemy is. He hides behind people. He hides behind certain situations. He hides, and he's so good at hiding. But when you recognize, it's that ugly devil that's doing that to me. And as Sharita said, enough is enough. I'm tired of the enemy waging war on me and me just sitting there taking it. When I have a God who, when I raise my battle cry to him, he is just. He is able to go in and say, you don't have to fight. See, that's my God. That's your God. You don't have to raise a finger. You don't have a dog in this fight. But you got God. And I go back to the definition of battle. A sustained fight between large organized armed forces. Large. In this corner, we have Satan, who runs about seeking whom he may devour. And I'm not calling you Satan. I'm just using this as an example. He wreaks havoc. He doesn't care. He takes no prisoners. He will annihilate you. This is a large force. Agreed? It's a large force. And in this corner, we have the Lord Almighty, who is undefeated, who has never lost a battle, who will, at the snap of a finger, wipe out an entire army, whose thinking is so out there, it's so above what we can ever imagine. Now I ask you, which army is greater? Because see, the devil is too stupid to know that, well, I'm going to start fighting against this person, and I'm going to start fighting against this person, when really, we're the people they were really attacking, we're over here watching. Y'all go ahead and take one another out, because when y'all annihilate one another, I'm going to swoop in and take your abundance. That is God. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about just material things. The devil has robbed many of us of our joy, our peace, our sleep, our rest. And at some point, you got to wake up and say, this battle is not mine. This is God's battle. I will stand strong. I will raise my battle cry until I can't praise him anymore. And when my voice gives out, my heart's going to sing out and he's going to hear it, because his ear is not too far away that he cannot hear the cries of his children. That's what we have to remember, people, is that our battle cry is what's going to break the wall. Jehoshaphat didn't. He didn't do the things that he did before. He inquired of the Lord. He gave thanks. Praise always comes before a battle. We've got to remember that this is not our first time in trouble. It may be a different kind of trouble, but it's not our first battle. That's why in Isaiah 61:3, God reminds us he'll give you beauty for your ashes. When all is burnt and lost and total destruction seems to happen in our lives, it's then that he takes those ashes and says, I'm going to make something beautiful out of it. All of your hurt that you thought was going to take you out from people, from situations, from health issues, from your job, from your kids, from your spouse, whatever it is. He says, I can take something and make something beautiful out of it. I'll give you joy for mourning. I'll give you praise in the right in the middle of the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. Trees. I think of a palm tree and a hurricane. We've been through some hurricanes, spiritually, mentally, caused total destruction. But a palm tree, it bends. We bend, but somehow we don't break. We stand right back up. That's why we're all here today. We have to remember, this is not our battle. God is the one who fights our battles. But we do, and we are obligated to shout our battle cry. Somebody just say, hallelujah. Praise the holy name of God. For some of us, that's the only time, or maybe the first time in a long time, we've ever uttered those words. As Jacob's playing something behind me, again, every Sunday, we open these altars because we have fought and we have fought and then we fought some more until the very strength has left us. Our minds are not where they used to be. Our joy is scattered. Sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down. Our peace has been robbed to the point where we can't even lay our heads down at night without thinking of what's going to happen to me next. How am I going to fix this situation? And really, God's just waiting, saying, it's not yours to carry. It's not your battle to face. First and foremost, every head bowed and every eye closed.